When Theo was a boy, we have a Theo here, but he's not talking about you. He bought a big black cigar, and then out of curiosity, he wanted to try the cigar. And he slipped into an alley, okay, the back of the house, and lit it up. It didn't taste very good. If you have tried cigar, I've never tried that. but it made him feel very grown up. Wow, I'm tasting a cigar like a millionaire. So he felt very grown up. Until he saw his father coming. Quickly, he put the cigar behind his back and tried to be casual, pretend that nothing is happening. So he was so desperate to divert his father's attention. He pointed to a billboard advertising the circus and said, "Can I go, Dad? Please, let's go when it comes to time." And his father's reply taught Theo a lesson he will never forget. "Son," he answered quietly and firmly, "never make a petition while at the same time trying to hide a smoking disobedience. Never make a petition while at the same time trying to hide a smoking disobedience." This is such a good reminder about our petition and prayer to God. God hates it when we try to hide or ignore a disobedience or a sin in our life while we're trying to ask God for things, as if God is just a dumb vending machine. And he can be manipulated by our evil will to get whatever we want. Who is God in that case? We are. God is perfect. God is all-knowing. God is all-wise and completely separated from sin. You can't hide anything from God. God desires people to cleanse themselves before even they approach Him. But God is also a personal and relational God. That's why He created us with His image. We decide to have relationship with people. We don't want to just live on a lonely island by ourselves, because we were created like God. God is personal and relational. God is our best friend, because only a best friend would die for you when you're in great need. Our greatest need was punishment of our sins into eternal separation from God in hell. But God sent His holy Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins in our place on the cross, and that He was also resurrected, proving that He not only was the Son of God, the perfect human being who came to die for all mankind's sins, but He also is God. He had the power to triumph over sin. That's why Jesus Christ is the only one we should look up to when we are living a life struggling with sin, starting from fear of eternal punishment because of our sin. And later on, we're sure that we will have eternal life with God because we have a good relationship with Jesus Christ, simply because we're willing to believe in Jesus Christ by faith. And simply say, "Yes, Jesus Christ, I know I am a sinner. I agree that I am a sinner and that the punishment of sin is eternal death in hell. I know there's nothing that I can do to help me to become perfect in your eyes, because even if I have lied once, I am a liar. In God's eyes, I am a sinner." But God, seeing that we have no way out of our own problem, solved the problem for us with a great price, great cost, by having His own Son dying in our place. And that's why God has become our best friend. Someone who is willing to die for us in our place. Do you have a friend who is willing to die for you? Probably not. When you think about how many friends you have in Facebook and how many are true friends, I have friends who have 800 people in the Facebook list. But how many are true friends when you're in great need, that person is willing to sacrifice himself or herself to help you to the point of dying for you? I bet you can barely find anyone like that. But Jesus Christ is the best friend that everyone can have. And for those who have already believed in Jesus Christ as his or her personal savior, you have already had this best friend. But the question is, God treats you as a best friend. Are you treating God as your best friend? Today we'll look at five things we should do when we pray to God, which expresses our friendship to God as well. Not just that God is willing to be our best friend, already showed his friendship to us, but we are not treating him as a friend, and often treat him as just a dumb vending machine. So, how can you be a friend to Jesus Christ, our God? Let's go to the next slide. The first thing is to offer praise to God, offer a gift to God. When you have a good friend, your best friend, when you visit that good friend, you might do bring a gift or something that you want to bring with you to appreciate your friend. According to Psalm 106, it says that, praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let's watch a little video. This is from the Hallelujah Chorus of Messiah, the very famous musical piece by Handel, the Christian musician who wrote a masterpiece that has made such an impact in the whole world. And I want to show you what praising God is like. I think this only gives you a picture of what it is like in heaven, but in heaven it will be even better than this. So, could someone turn off the light and let's relax while we ponder on the lyrics of this song about praising God. celebrated New Year as Christians in Hong Kong. They went to the square to witness for God by singing this song. And it was such a good performance. They put their heart into it. I think God was glorifying that. But I see a picture in heaven that someone turned off tonight that's even better than this, where all the believers in heaven praise God with all the angels together. You have heard a word being repeated over and over. What is that word? Hallelujah. But what does that word mean? Somebody knows what that means?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Right, Jonathan. And hallelujah is formed by combining two Hebrew words. One is hallel, that means praise. And Yah, that's Yahweh, the short form for Yahweh, the Israelite name for the name of God. So it's praising Yahweh, or let us praise Yahweh, the true God. So that's the meaning of this word, hallelujah. To praise means to celebrate, to glorify, to sing praise, and to boast about someone that you admire. You see something good in that person. It is first used in Genesis chapter 12, verse 15, because of Sarah's beauty. Sarah is the wife of Abraham, the ancestor of the Israelites, and they passed Egypt, and the princes of Pharaoh praised her to Pharaoh because she was so beautiful. So that hallel was used, but this word hallel was also used to praise God. When we praise God, what are we doing? We're telling God how proud we are to have Him as our God because He is so good. How do you praise God? We say, we sing and we praise God. But what's important is in the lyrics, not just the music. What the lyrics say about God and why you're praising God. If I have had to praise God, I praise God like this. There's no comparison to God's perfection and goodness. For God is eternal. God is self-sufficient. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. God is all-present. God is beyond time, for He created time. God is infinitely holy. God is infinitely just. God is infinitely loving. God is infinitely kind. God is infinitely merciful. God is infinitely gracious. God is infinitely compassionate. God is infinitely wise. Infinitely creative. Looking at the creation of the heavens and the earth. He is infinitely patient, infinitely good, infinitely faithful, infinitely truthful, infinitely organized and in control of all things. Look at the order of heavens and earth. So when you are an organized person, people in you will see the image of God. When you praise people, how do you praise people? Typically to women, you'll say, oh, this woman is so pretty, so beautiful. When you are in love with someone dating, you have more words to use. But I can think of these words. Beautiful, and pretty, or gorgeous, lovely, stunning, attractive. What other words would you use? But the Bible asks us to praise women for their inner qualities besides the outer beauty. According to Proverbs 31, these are the qualities of a woman that is good in God's eyes, not only just the outer appearance of beauty. By fearing God, a noble wife or woman has such precious virtues. Hard work, wise investment, good use of time, planning ahead, care for others, respect for one's spouse or husband, ability to share godly values with others, wise counsel, godly fear, fear God expressed in worship of the true God, trust in the true God, serving the true God, obeying the true God. These qualities lead to honor in God's eyes. Praise even the husband will praise the wife like that. Personal dignity and worth and enjoyment of life. So if you are seeking a future wife, look for such quality or encourage the one you are dating to develop in these qualities. Because your outer appearance will deteriorate over time. No matter how pretty you are, I bet when you are 70 years old, you probably look not very different from another person who didn't look very pretty younger. Alright? So, but these inner qualities last forever. So pursue these qualities in a woman that you are trying to date and later marry. But how about men? How do you praise a man? Most people praise a man using handsome, talented, smart, wealthy, you're so generous, you have money. So, but the Bible tells us that the following qualities of an ideal man who can be an elder or leader in the church are the following: above reproach, blameless, husband of but one wife, no adultery, okay? Be loyal, be faithful to your wife, temperate or well-balanced in his thoughts, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not being controlled by wine or other things that will control him, including probably video games. Not violent, but gentle. Being gentle is a good quality of a man. Even as a man, you need to be gentle. Not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. Manages his own family well, and his children will obey him with proper respect. And that this person is not a recent convert, for he's going to lead a God's people. That person must be humble, preserving God with a period of time to show that person's humility and faithfulness in God. And this person has good reputation with outsiders, even with non-Christians. Everybody says, this is a good person, this is a good man, this is a role model we look forward to, we look up to. But God, you know, God is a spirit. We cannot see God. That's why I praise God with those infinitely good qualities kept inside of God. Because although Jesus Christ came as a man, but I don't think Jesus Christ was as handsome as some of the movies describe. According to the Bible in Isaiah, the way that the Messiah, the Son of God, attracted people was not through his outer appearance handsomeness. Although we often portray Jesus as someone who is actually quite handsome in the movie. But Jesus, according to the prophecy, his outer appearance, most people would not even want to be with someone with such an outer appearance or his background. But it's because of his love, his truth, and all these qualities I just mentioned revealed in him. That attracted people to him. And also because he has the truth, the way, and life. Only through him people can go to the Heavenly Father. That's why people were willing to listen to him. I think we are really blessed. We're really blessed to have the God, like what is described in the Bible. That's the only true God. Other gods were just idols, created by human beings. They look like human beings. They also act like human beings, being sometimes in an evil way. If you're worshipper of God, you have to worship this God. This is the only true God. There was an early, elderly Christian man, a very fine singer. He can sing really well. But he learned that he had cancer of the tongue. Cancer of the tongue. That means the tongue needs to be cut off and he will not be able to sing anymore. And a surgery was required. In his hospital, after everything was ready for the surgery, the man said to the doctor, "Are you sure I will never sing again?" The surgeon found it difficult to answer this question, so he simply shook his head. The patient then asked if he could sit up for a moment, and he said, "I've had many good times singing the praises of God," he said. "And now you tell me I can never sing again? I have one song that will be my last. It will be of gratitude and praise to God." And in the doctor's presence, he sang this song, It was by Isaac Watts. It's a very famous hymn. It says that I praise my maker while I have breath. And when my voice is not in death, praise shall employ my nobler power. My days of praise shall never be past, while night and thought and being mad for immortality and yours, I will forever praise God, even with thousands of times in my heart. How do you praise God? Praise can reveal so much about your friendship with God, and it can give you so much power with your daily living if you know the secret of praising God. The second thing to show our friendship to God, presenting another gift to God by giving thanks. Next slide, please. Okay, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Christians are to give thanks in good times and in bad times, in all circumstances. And the basis of that is based on Romans chapter 8, 28. For God works everything together for good for those who love Him. So even in bad times, difficult times, you know, God has a good purpose. God is going to bring something good even out of a difficult situation. For that, you praise God. Sometimes difficult situations, as Pastor taught that, do more to us, building up our character than good times. John Wesley was a very famous preacher, servant of God. When he was 21 years old, he went to Oxford University, one of the top universities in the world, and he came from a Christian home. But he was gifted with a very sharp and smart mind, and he had very good looks. He was very handsome too. But the problem is that he was very proud and arrogant, and he was very sarcastic. Often put down people with his sarcastic remarks. But one night, however, something happened that changed his heart. What happened was that he talked to a porter, someone who carries the luggage for him, and he found out that this poor fellow had only one coat and lived in a very poor condition, and he didn't even have a bed to sleep on. And yet this person is so unusually happy. So he tried to give some sarcastic comments. And this person is so thankful to God, showing his gratitude to God. He was very immature, Wesley, so he gave a very thoughtless joke and comment. And he said, "What else do you thank God for? You have nothing." And with a touch of sarcasm, the porter smiled, and in the spirit of meekness, gentleness, replied with joy, "I thank him that he has given me my life and being, a heart to love him, and above all, a constant desire to serve him, the King of all things, the true God." Wesley was so deeply moved by this, and he recognized that this man knew the meaning of true thankfulness. There are many others who have a nod and they just give thanks for what they have. But this man has nothing from us, but he would thank God. Giving thanks is the spirit of being content and thankful, even if you seem to have nothing in the world's eyes. I come up with this, okay? It's not from any quote. A thankful heart makes a poor man rich and happy. An unappreciated heart makes a rich man poor and miserable. Isn't that true? It sounds pretty good. Thank God for inspiring me to say this. A thankful heart makes the poor man rich and happy. An unappreciated heart makes the rich man poor and miserable. What do you give thanks to God for? Try to write down your thanksgiving to God according to the following. Let me give you some guidance if you have difficulty giving thanks to God for. First, in terms of time. What happened in the past, in your life, now, and your future hope. Circumstances, what happened in your life. Location, what's inside your body, on your body, even the clothes. Good health. at home, in church, in school, at work, in Baton Rouge, in the United States, in the world, on planet Earth, in such a incomprehensibly vast university as almost smaller than a dust in this room. How can you praise God for that? Give thanks for that. Your needs, you have physical needs, you have mental needs, you have emotional needs, and you have spiritual needs. How did God meet such needs in your life? And you will be sure that God will meet your needs again. Relationship with God, with yourself, and with other people in your life. Where do you see God in all these things? And give thanks to God for. A thankful heart makes the poor man rich and happy. An unappreciated heart makes the rich man poor and miserable. To be a friend of God, the third thing that you should do, say in your prayer is ask things according to God's will, according to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, God will hear us. At a meeting of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Bobby Richardson, former New York Yankee second baseman, offered a prayer. Dear God, Your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen. This was his prayer, such a short prayer, and yet this became a classical prayer that reflects that God's will is better than ours. If you reflect on what I praise God for, won't God's will be better than any of our will? He knows everything. He has all the power. He loves us. He is holy. And all those other qualities in God. Wouldn't God's will be the best for you? Let's learn to pray to God according to God's will. Ask God for things according to God's will instead of, God, I want this to happen this way, as if you are commanding God to do things, but that might not be the best way for you. So often, God will answer your prayer a little different from what you expected, but you'll find out that later, as you get older, reflecting on your life, you'll find out that that's the best for me. That's what I see in my life, even some of the troubles, difficulties, and heartaches that I had. Fourthly, to be a friend of God. When you pray, ask in Jesus' name. According to John chapter 16, verse 23. Yes. In that day, you will no longer ask me everything. Ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Jesus was crucified, and then he was resurrected, and then he now is with the Father on the right-hand side of God, praying for us. So when we pray to our Heavenly Father, Jesus is also praying for us and helping us to answer our prayers according to God's will. But since Jesus Christ, He died for us, He was resurrected for us, He is the bridge for us to get to God. So that's why we pray and we often close our prayers in the name of Jesus. And the Amen means very sincerely to God. Honestly to God. Before I end today's message, I want to share a warning or a precaution about prayer. Be careful what you promise to God. Be careful what you promise to God. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 4 says that when you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better to vow than to not to vow, than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Here's another catchy phrase that I made up. Not fulfilling your promise to a person is a shame. Not fulfilling your promise to God is a sin. Isn't that true? Let me repeat that again. Not fulfilling your promise to a person is a shame. Not fulfilling your promise to God is a sin in God's eyes. We live in a time full of unkept promises. People keep promising this and promising that, and they don't fulfill their promises. Nations countries sign treaties and then they break them at will. As if those treaties had no value. Couples, after they have gotten married, they show little regard for their wedding vow, that their eternal covenant before God that should not be broken. So in this kind of society, we who are God's people should be known for keeping our promises to people and to God. I think that will be a very good testimony to this world in which people cannot keep promises, break promises, and yet everybody needs someone who can keep a promise as a friend. Brilliant Christian scholar, C.S. Lewis. Have you all watched Chronicles of Narnia? The Prince of Caspian, right? I watched that with some of you. And he was a very, very good Christian author. And he took this truth very seriously, keeping a promise. He was determined to pay what he had vowed. And he had a friend. He was in a battle during World War I. And this friend was really worried about that he might die in the battle and that nobody would take care of his wife and kids. So he asked C.S. Lewis, could you take care of my wife and my kids if I die in the battle? As the battle goes on, indeed, Lewis' friend died in the battle. And C.S. Lewis kept the promise, and that caused him a lot of suffering. Why? Because Lewis took care of the friend's family, he tried the best he could, he tried to be helpful, but the woman was always ungrateful, always very rude to him, arrogant and controlling. But even through that, C.S. Lewis kept his promises. He didn't give him an excuse. This woman is so bad, so nasty to me, why should I keep my promise? But he continued to keep the promise. Not only keeping promise to man, but also keeping a promise to God. So when you pray, remember to praise God, give God a gift. God is your best friend. Give thanks to God, and other gifts to God, your best friend. Certainly ask according to God's will, that's the best for you. And fourthly, in Jesus' name, because He is the bridge for us to go to our Heavenly Father, and keep your promise to God. Of course, keep your promise to men and women, because when people see you and they know that you're a Christian and you're not keeping a promise, they probably would think that this God is no good and Christians cannot even keep a promise. If they can even keep better promises than they do, I think we are really insulting God's name. So let's pray and ask God to help us to be a friend of God. Oh dear Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are our best friend. And you are the best friend we can have because of your love and because of your greatness. We sometimes don't even know how to use words to praise you, to describe your awesomeness. But God, I thank you because even though we don't know how to pray to you, you still unconditionally love us, provide our needs. But how much better if we know how to come to you as our best friend and praise you and give thanks to you, pray in according to you, your will, according to Jesus' name. You will be pleased when we come to you as your friend. And I know, God, you desire our friendship more than many other things in our lives. I pray that each one of us will treat God as a friend, who is already a best friend to each one of us, and that this friendship over time will grow, and that this friendship will give us strength, guidance, comfort in times of difficulty. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.